Welcome to the second season of Alternative Parenting Podcast, where we learn how to guide our kids to find their own path while supporting them in cultivating traits that will empower them to live a life of fulfillment, meaning, and satisfaction. I'm your host, Efrat Amira. Welcome back. I'm really excited about this episode because this is going to be a solo episode and it's been a very long time since I've recorded one. Last week, you heard an interview with the somatic experiencing practitioner Ida Mason, and we talked about resilience and how we can cultivate resilience in ourselves and in our kids. What I wanted to talk about today is how cultivating resilience looks practically. How it looks in our day-to-day lives. And I want to do this by sharing with you three examples from my own family. Two of the examples are examples where I did a pretty good job with fostering resilience. And in one of the examples, I want to talk about a time where I feel like I actually thwarted resilience. And the way that I responded to the situations made my son more anxious, more insecure, more clingy, more needy, and less resilient. So today I'm going to talk about three examples. So the three examples that I'm going to talk about are when my oldest son learned how to read. The second example is going to be from the time where my third son was born and my second son was having a very hard time. And the third example is going to be of starting a new daycare with my third child. So before that, I want to talk for a minute about how I see resilience. And the way that I see resilience is very much derived from the world of somatic experiencing. Where in somatic experiencing, resilience is seen as something that is based on safety. When our bodies feel safe, we have more capacity to deal with stressful situations. And what safety means is being in a state of regulation, in a state of nervous system regulation, where there is a balance between our sympathetic system and our parasympathetic system, or our activating system and our rest and digest system. There is a nice ebb and flow between those systems, and we feel mostly calm and regulated. And also, when we are under stress, we are able to go back to calm pretty quickly. So when we have a good capacity and we are regulated, we most of the time are pretty balanced. And for kids, safety comes from connection with us. So think about it. Kids are dependent on us for their very basic survival needs. They cannot survive without us. So instinctively, they know that when they are connected to us, they are safe. And when there is a disconnection from us, they feel unsafe. And if we think about resilience, then we nurture our kids' resilience if they feel enough safety, and also that they know that whenever a stressful situation occurs, we are still connected to them, which will be interpreted for them as, when I feel stress, I am still safe. Because when I feel stress, my parent or caregiver is still connected with me, is still connected to me. And the way that we maintain that connection is by regulating ourselves in the situation, bringing ourselves back to calm, and then co-regulating with our kids and bringing them back to a calm state. So this can look like many, many, many different things. It happens a lot of times during the day. So we have many situations where we can practice, building resilience. I want to dive now into the examples. The first example that I want to talk about is when my oldest son, Alon, learned how to read. So for Alon, learning how to read was a very long process. He was homeschooled since he was four. So he went to preschool until then. And in preschool, he did learn the basics of ABCs. He did know to recognize the letters. So that wasn't an issue. And it came pretty easily for him. But when we started homeschooling, I really didn't want to teach reading at this age. I felt like it's too early to start learning to read from the place that I come from. And in other countries, especially in Europe, kids learn how to read only from age 7 up. So it's not something that I wanted to do before age 7 anyway. So I waited with it. And he didn't really seem to be interested in learning how to read until he was about age 8, I want to say. And when he was around age eight, he asked to learn how to read. And they said, okay. So I found a book. We started working with the book. Not daily, but on a regular basis. We started, you know, focusing on reading for about 10 to 15 minutes every time that we sat down and learned. But the thing is that what happened is that he used to feel very, very irritated. He was very frustrated and he felt like it's too hard. And what I think and I believe that underneath that was his insecurity of just feeling that maybe, you know, if he's not doing it perfectly, then he's not smart or he's not able to do it or there is something wrong with him. I believe that maybe those were the thoughts that he had. But his behavior was very challenging, I want to say, because he used to get so frustrated and he just didn't want to do it anymore. And what happened is that I got very irritated and frustrated and I couldn't handle it. So it would create a lot of tension between us. It didn't feel right. And I felt like I need to drop it for a while until I figure out a better way to do this or until he has more motivation and feels like he wants to overcome this challenge. So we dropped it. And then after a few months, we went back to learn how to read and frustration arose and all his beliefs of, you know, being not smart enough or incapable or not good enough. I believe all these raised in him when we went back to learn how to read. But this time I felt that I had more capacity to deal with it. And I was able to just pause, take a deep breath, tell myself that he is okay and he can do it and that I know that he can do it. And it doesn't matter that he's already 9 and that I trust him and I trust his process. And I was able to calm myself down and not get into that overwhelm with him, that emotional overwhelm that just made him feel very tense and stressed. So, you know, our kids, much more than what we say, they feel us, they feel our energy. And when we are stressed, they feel it, they feel our stress. And if when we feel like there is something wrong, then we show it towards them. So I was able in that time to calm myself down and, you know, just to take a break, walk around the house a little bit, maybe drink a cup of water and go back to it. And I was able to show him that I have time, there is no pressure, and that he can continue and that he doesn't have to do it perfectly. Another thing that I think happened at that time is that he was comparing himself to me because he didn't have other peers with him when he was learning how to read. It was just either me reading or him reading. So he was comparing himself to me, which wasn't good because he thought that he was supposed to read like me, which is of course impossible. And it just made him even more stressed out. But because I was able to stay calm in the situation and show him that I have patience and I have time and everything is okay and that I trust him, then he was able to gradually be able to deal with his uncomfortable feelings. And I remember something that would happen every time that we started sitting. He would start to feel really, really hot. He started to take off layers and just feel so hot in his body. And in time, what he learned is that he needs to take a break and go drink a cup of water. So that's what he did. He took a break, went to drink a cup of water and came back and practiced reading again. And this was really, really helpful because this was a strategy that he learned that he needs to do in order to calm himself down. And it was very helpful. And in time, gradually, day after day, a little at a time, with my capacity growing and with his capacity growing, he learned that he can deal with this tough situation and he learned how to read. And actually today he's a very avid reader. This was about a year ago. And today he reads Harry Potter books, which is incredible. He reads amazing. And he actually wants to read all the time. So I feel like this was a real success story. And I like to share it because, first of all, our kids need resilience when they learn new things. And second of all, I want to give parents permission to let their kids take their time when they're learning how to read. And if kids need to learn how to read when they're 10, that's fine. There is no way that a kid will not learn how to read in our society. It's just not possible. And I think that we as parents have too much pressure around reading, and we try to teach our kids to read at a way too young age, and it actually makes them feel that they're not good enough, they're not smart enough, and that they're not able to read. And eventually they may end up hating reading, like I did when I was a kid. The second example I want to give to you today is an example where I feel that I messed up as a parent. And it's actually very hard for me to look back at those days because it was a very stressful situation in my life. So when my third child was born, we moved from an apartment to a big house when he was 3 weeks old. And we moved to a completely new town. And we moved far away from everybody that we know. And we just had to get used to a new house, a new environment, unpacking, you know, getting the house ready with a three-week-old. And also at the time, I had a surgery that I needed to go through, and I had my ovary and tube removed because of it. And it was just a very stressful time in my life. And having a newborn, going through that surgery, moving to a new home, a new place, a new community, not knowing anybody, basically, was a very hard time for me. The reason why I'm sharing with you this information is because when I look back at it right now, I understand that my capacity was so low because of this situation. And as all of you know, having a newborn in and of itself is a very stressful time where you're not really sleeping, you don't have time for yourself, you don't get your needs met. And on top of that, I had the new house and the surgery and my health condition. So my capacity was very low. And my middle child had a very, very hard time when my third child was born. And he started really, really acting out. And he started being very, very clingy. He wanted me to be with him 24/7. He basically wanted, to be my baby, which I understand and I understood completely. But I was just not able to give him what he needs. And because I was feeling so guilty about that, and I was so tired and I was so maxed out, I ended up not only not giving him what he needs, but actually distancing him from me because I was so overwhelmed. And I remember, specific moments where this happened. So for example, when we went for a walk outside and I took the stroller or I carried the baby in the carrier, he wanted me to wait for him when he was riding his bike. And we have a small hill when we enter our house that we have to go up. And it was hard for him to climb that hill. But it was also very, very hard for me because my body was so weak and he wanted me to wait for him or help him up the hill. And because I was so tired and my body was so weak, I just wasn't able to do it. So I just got mad at him. And I would tell him, he has to come. And I would go up the hill and I wouldn't wait for him just because I couldn't stand on my feet anymore. And he would cry and then I needed to go down there. And, the whole situation just went downhill. So there are a few instances like that. And for example, like when we needed to leave the house, he wanted me to help him, put his shoes on, although he already knew how to put shoes on, to put his coat on and everything. And I just got very irritated because I really just couldn't handle doing everything for him at the time. And I used to tell him, You're a big boy, you have to do it yourself. And that just made him feel shame, basically. It made him feel that he's not good enough. It made him feel that I am not there for him anymore. And just like those small situations that happened made things much worse. And after that, because I needed a break and I felt like he needs maybe something else. He needs someone else to help him and get his needs met. I signed him up for a school. So we went to, it was a very beautiful school. It was an outdoor school, Waldorf based. And he went there 3 days a week, 3 hours every time. So it wasn't a very long time, but it was a very hard transition for him. And I felt also in that transition, I wasn't able to be there for him like I would have liked to be. So at the end of that year, when he was probably 4 and a half, his behavior was so hard. He was just so clingy. He was whiny. He would not listen to me. He was just acting out, basically. And I knew the reason that all of this is happening, but I felt like I don't have the capacity to deal with him. I feel like till now, till this day, I'm still restoring the connection with him. I'm still working on building the connection with him back and building the trust back. And it really saddens me to look back at the situation on the one hand, and I can feel very guilty about it. But at the same time, I know that I really did my best and I couldn't do anything more than I did at that time just because the situation was so extreme. So what I'm hoping in my heart is that I will be able to restore our connection and I will be able to restore his resilience and actually that he will become even more resilient because of the things that happened in the past, and he will become a stronger person because of it. And I know that the only way to do it is by connection, restoring the connection with him and restoring the trust, making him feel like I'm there for him no matter what, and that I love him unconditionally, and that I see him, and that basically I love him just the way that he is. The third story that I wanted to share with you is the story of putting my third son into a daycare. So this year, as some of you already know, I decided to sign my kids up to a program. It's a homeschooling co-op. So my older kids go 4 days a week to this homeschooling co-op. So basically, I feel like I'm not homeschooling anymore, although some will call this homeschooling. But the kids are there, so they're not with me all day. And my little one, he couldn't go there because he's too young, so he needed to go to a different daycare. I wanted to talk about the progress of getting him used to this place and the transition that we had, which I feel was a pretty good transition and overall made him more resilient. So when we started the daycare, what I did was I introduced him to the place very, very, very gradually. So in the first day, in the first week, actually, I took him for an hour there and stayed with him during that hour. In the second week, I took him there and I stayed with him a little bit. And then I told him that I'm going to work. And I left him there for 30 minutes to an hour for a day or two. And then another day, I left him a little bit longer and came back. And then in the third week, I was able to leave him for longer periods of time. And I think that by the third week, he was already sleeping. He was already napping there. And I feel like this was a good transition because he never felt unsupported. I was there with him in the beginning, and me and the head of the school, Sarah, we worked together to create a bond between her and my son. And he started to attach to her. He started to really like being with her. He started to look forward to be with her. And in time, when I had to leave, he knew that she is there for him. So although the situation was stressful, he always had a caretaker by his side. So maybe he was, he was scared at the beginning, or he was shy, or he was uncomfortable with the situation. But it was always with somebody next to him. So at the beginning, it was me, and then it was me and her together, and then it was only her. The most important thing is that there is always someone near the child when he's feeling these distressful situations, whether it's the parent, a caretaker, a babysitter, somebody that he knows, somebody that he trusts, somebody that he loves, somebody that he knows will take care of him. And that's what's important. I, You know, this year it was hard for me to make the decision to send my kids to school and to a different program, but I know that I needed this year for myself. And I truly believe that we are not meant to parent in isolation. We are not meant to do this by ourselves. So I am very grateful that I found a school that I can trust and that there are loving teachers there where I know that my kid feels supported, where I know that if he's crying, then somebody's holding him. I know that they don't punish, they don't give time outs. And I think that, you know, we as parents can use every support that we can get, even if it's the support of sending them to school. So yeah, that's it. Those were the three stories. I hope this was helpful for you to understand the concept of building resilience, because at the end of the day, we're not looking to shield our kids from stress. We don't want to protect them from life challenges. We want them to know that challenges come, but they can deal with them. And the way that they learn to deal with them, as I said, is by coming back to safety, coming back to a place of calm and regulation. And when the body is calm and regulated, the body feels safe. And when the body feels safe, the body is more resilient to stress. So I hope this was helpful for you. I would love to hear from you guys. What are the situations that you had to deal with your kids, where you feel that you were able to build resilience with them, or maybe that you didn't do a great job at supporting them and building resilience? If you haven't yet, be sure to grab my free guide, Raising Resilient Kids. You can grab it for free at alternative-parenting.ck.page/resilience. I will also link that in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed this episode and I'll talk to you next week. Bye for now. I hope you enjoyed this episode and was inspired to make small shifts in your parenting that will support your kids to bring forth their full potential while living a life of ease and well-being. To support this show, please make sure to subscribe and rate the show. Leaving a comment can be very helpful in promoting the show on the podcast platform. If you think that this can benefit other parents, please share this podcast with them. I invite you also to follow my Instagram account, Alternative Parenting Coach, and join my private Facebook group, Alternative Parenting, where I would love to hear your thoughts about the episode, what you learned, what inspired you, or what you didn't agree with. Your feedback is extremely valuable to me, as we are all in this process together, living, learning, and evolving. Thank you again, and I'll talk to you soon.